This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. A new kind of legally recognized union for same-sex couples goes into effect in Britain this week. It's called civil partnership, and while it's not exactly the same as marriage for heterosexual couples, it's very close. Most advocates there said that the rights and obligations of marriage were more important than the word. Some countries in Europe do provide for gay marriage. Spain is the latest, just this past summer. Others provide for varying types of civil unions. Canada is on the way toward a national law on gay marriage, which is already legal in some provinces. And last week, South Africa's Supreme Court ruled that it is unconstitutional to prevent gay men and women from enjoying the benefits of marriage. Elsewhere in Africa, gay marriage is regarded as unthinkable. In many countries, homosexuality is illegal. As the debate on civil unions and gay marriage continues in this country, we'll talk today about different models in other countries and how it works there. What happens, for example, when a married gay couple from the Netherlands moves to Germany? Later in the program, arguments today before the U.S. Supreme Court on a law that cuts federal funds to universities that refuse to allow military recruiters on campus. The universities say the issue is discrimination and the military's policy of don't ask, don't tell. But first, gay marriage. How do they do it there? We welcome our listeners from around the world to join us. What's the law where you live? How does it work? And if you have questions about various models and how they differ and why, or about the law in various countries, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now is Deborah Reynolds. She's the Assistant Managing Registrar with the District of Brighton in England, where many couples have signed up to enter into a civil partnership. And Ms. Reynolds joins us from her home in Brighton. Nice of you to be with us this evening.
Thank you, Neil. Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. How's the civil partnership in the United Kingdom different from marriage between a man and a woman?
How different is it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously it's between two people of the same sex, and it's purely a civil function in that the partnership cannot be formed in a religious building. And with marriage, there are prescribed declarations that the couple have to say, declarations of freedom to marry, followed by contractual vows. And with civil partnerships, the partnership is formed when the couple sign the schedule.
And they don't even have to be in the same room when they do it.
No, they do. They do have to be in the same room.
Oh, good. All right. It's also, as I understand it, slightly different in the event of divorce or dissolution.
Yeah, only slightly different in that there was no definition for adultery.
Mm-hmm. What's the first step for a couple who wants to form a civil partnership?
Well, they would come and see us. If they live in our district, they'll come and see us. If they live in Brighton and Hove, they make an appointment. They come and see us at least 15 clear days before the formation of their partnership can take place.
And why is that?
There's a waiting period. And because what we do is we post the notice is up for public viewing,
mm-hmm.
in order to give people the chance to make a legal objection, such as they're under 16, or they're of opposite sex, or that they're actually related to each other in a prohibitive way.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing for heterosexual
absolutely,
couples.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely the same, yeah. Once their notice is due, the first ones will be on the 21st of December, we will issue a schedule, and then they can either sign it, or they can have a ceremony during which they'll sign it. They don't actually have to have a ceremony.
Mm-hmm. How many people have signed up thus far?
We've got 510 bookings. We've actually taken 52 notices since yesterday when it was introduced.
And I assume you've talked with some of these couples.
I have talked to some of these couples, and they are lovely.
Tell us a little bit about them.
Mainly, the couples I've spoken to have been together for... And this is the honest truth. They've been together for over 40 years. So it has been quite an emotional time because they never actually thought they'd see this during their lifetime, because they can still remember when homosexuality in this country was illegal. So it's a massive, massive moment for them, really, the fact that they will get legal recognition. It has really been wonderful. It's it's a real historic time here, and you can actually almost feel society shifting forward. It's just brilliant.
In some parts of the country, I understand registrars have said that personally they're not thrilled with this being required to perform this this service. What's the situation there in Brighton?
None of my registrars will. No, there's none of them in Brighton at all. We're all really, really excited, and many of them came in very early yesterday morning so that they could be there to witness the historic moment when we took the first notices. And on the 21st of December, when we can actually form the first civil partnerships, they're all coming in, they've all got jobs to do, whether it be handing out champagne or welcoming the couples and their guests. We've all got something to do on that day.
Now, obviously, registrars do other things as well. You register births and deaths.
And marriages. And citizenship ceremonies we do.
Uh-huh. So this is going to add to your work, it looks like, at least for a couple of weeks.
It's more than a couple of weeks, Neil. Yes, it is going to add to our work. And we are, in Brighton and Hove, we're expanding into three new offices. We've already got a team of 23. We've had to take on two temporary staff as well, who are fantastic. So it is going to add to our work, but we don't mind.
Is there a certificate, the equivalent to a marriage certificate?
Yes, there is a certificate. Once they've signed the schedule, it has to be registered. We're using a manual system, actually. I should say that the civil partnerships were due to go online. An American company, Mantec, they are developing this for us, and eventually they will be registered on the United Kingdom's first ever national web-based civil registration system, but it's not quite ready. So what will happen is we will register them manually and issue a certificate from that in a sort of loose-leaf folder the register is.
Is it a handsome certificate?
It's official looking.
Stamps and seals and that sort of things on it?
Sorry?
Stamps and seals and that sort of thing?
It's watermarked paper with the General Register Office crest at the top. And it is the first certificate in this country that records both parents' details, including the mother. We're very archaic over here. And at the moment, on a marriage certificate, we only record the father's name and occupation of the person who's taking part in the ceremony. But on the civil partnership, we'll be recording both mother and father. So that's quite exciting.
And will you take care to ensure that the first one will have your name on it too?
I think I might be fighting my colleagues for that.
Deborah Reynolds, thanks very much for being with us today.
You're
welcome.
Appreciate
your time. Deborah Reynolds is Assistant Managing Registrar with the District of Brighton in England, and she joined us from her home there in Brighton. The civil partnership in the United Kingdom is just one example of same-sex union, one that mirrors a handful of other European countries. And joining us now to talk about different kinds of same-sex partnerships and sometimes marriage that are allowed in other countries around the globe is Robert Wintemute. He's a professor of human rights law at King's College in London. He's also the editor of a collection of works titled Legal Recognition of Same-Sex Partnerships, a Study of National, European, and International Law. And Professor Wintemute, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Now, you describe four kinds of models of relationship institutions that are used by different countries. Can you briefly outline them for us?
Sure. The simplest model is just to take what we already have, which is marriage, and allow same-sex couples to enter this existing institution. The second model is to create something new, a kind of separate but mainly equal, create a new institution that has the same rights and duties as marriage, but give it another name. And that's what we have in the United Kingdom starting this month, civil partnership. You have that in Connecticut and Vermont, civil unions, California, domestic partners, et cetera, different names around the world. Third option is to create something new and let everyone, any couple, enter into it. New Zealand has that. They call it civil unions. And a different sex couple can enter into that there. And finally, the fourth model is to have something new open to everyone, but it doesn't give all the rights and duties of marriage, and that's what they have in France, for example.
Mm-hmm. We're interested in getting phone calls from listeners, especially listeners from around the world. How do they do it where you live? What is the law where you are? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, our email address, TOTN@npr.org. Also, if you have questions about how the law is applied in different parts of the world, give us a call. And let's talk with William. William calling us from Syracuse, New York.
Hi. I just wanted to say I got married on October 7th up in Canada. I'm an American, and it was great to go ahead and get married. I love being married. And as somebody who's worked for civil rights for a very long time, it was very touching to go into the Kingston courthouse and be able to register and to pay my fees, and for my husband Keith and I to actually be able to go to the rabbi at Queen's University and be married. It was just super. And I think to myself that one day in the United States they will look back at this issue like they have looked at the issue of not granting black and white couples the ability to marry, or some of the other policies that have held women down, or various other minority groups, and they'll feel shame that they didn't long before this do the right and the noble thing.
William, congratulations, and thanks very much for giving us the call.
Thank you.
This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about gay marriage and how do they do it there. Starting yesterday, gay couples in Britain could start to register for civil partnerships. Just last week, South Africa's High Court ruled that same-sex marriages enjoy the same legal status as heterosexual unions and ordered the Constitution changed to reflect that. Our guest is Robert Wintermute, a professor of human rights law at King's College in London. If you have questions about the differences in various models of gay marriage, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us, TOTN@npr.org. And Professor Wintermute, we were talking just before the break with someone, an American, who got married in Canada. They're on their way to a national law. As I understand, Canada, gay marriage is legal in some Canadian provinces now.
In fact, it's legal across the country, all 10 provinces and 3 territories as of July 2005.
So my information's out of date. I apologize.
Yes. In the U.S., marriage is, the definition of marriage is at the state level. Each, there are 50 laws of marriage in the U.S. In Canada, most family laws at the provincial level, but the definition of the rules on capacity to marry, who can marry, are at the federal level. So it was decided once and for all for the whole country.
Mm-hmm. What about our neighbor to the south in Mexico?
Mexico, no changes there that I'm aware of. There are some proposals I've heard of in Mexico City, but I haven't heard of any formal law that allows a same-sex couple to register their relationship.
If there was one word that seems to differentiate a lot of these varying models that we were talking about earlier, it's the word marriage.
Mm.
And that, of course, has some religious connotations in various places.
Yes, it does. I think the important distinction to make is between religious marriage and legal marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're talking about is legal marriage. The Canadian legislation specifically says that no religious official is required to solemnize a marriage if it's against the doctrines of their religion. So in Canada, you can get married either in a civil ceremony at the town hall or in any religious denomination that's willing to marry you, but no one is forced to marry you if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. Let's talk with Terry. Terry calling from Boise, Idaho.
My question, first of all, thanks for the doctor, and I love Talk of the Nation.
Oh, thank you.
I had a quick question. I have some friends that recently went up to Canada to get married, and I didn't know whether Canada's judgments are recognized in the United States or how or what international law would tell us or guide us as to how country from country we should recognize these civil unions or these marriages.
A thorny issue, Robert Wintermute.
Yes, it's a very, very complex issue. It really takes a specialist. What I would say is that it will be decided on a state-by-state basis, probably through the courts. And you'll find some states will recognize them and some won't.
But you would have similar differences even in Europe, where someone who is has part of a gay marriage, for example, in the Netherlands, would that be recognized in France or in Germany?
Not necessarily. They might give it the lower standing of what they have, because the package you get in Germany and France is not as good as in the Netherlands. The easier cases where you're going from one place that has one kind of law to another that has practically the same thing. Mm-hmm. In the UK, if you have something similar from another country, you are automatically in a civil partnership when you move to the UK.
Terry, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you.
Spain is one country that is using the term marriage to talk about gay partnerships. The country approved these partnerships in June, despite opposition from the Catholic Church. Joining us now to talk about the situation there is Jerome Sokolowski, a freelance reporter who's heard often here on NPR. He's with us from Madrid. Nice of you to join us today.
Good to be with you, Neil.
So it is gay marriage and same as heterosexual marriage in Spain?
It is. I believe it would be classified under the first model mentioned by Professor Wintermute. It's classified even with the term matrimonio or matrimony, which has a religious connotation for many Catholics in Spain, and that's what the Church was very much upset about.
Mm-hmm.
That the government gave it that name. Even opponents, even the Conservative Party, which was against the legislation here. Was willing, many of the people in the party were willing to accept some kind of civil union or some sort of arrangement that's similar to what Britain is doing, but they didn't want an equal status with a union between a man and a woman.
For Spain, obviously, for many, many, many years, the Catholicism was the official religion. That's no longer the case.
Well, it's a huge leap for Spain. If you do think back before 1975, the year that the Spanish dictator Francisco Franco died. Before then, gays could be thrown in jail, and since then, things have changed. But this is a real culmination for a lot of homosexuals here.
The Church has said, some of the cardinals there have said that those who perform such services should consider their conscience and not do it.
Indeed. Before the law was enacted, or before it was even passed in Parliament, the Church called on mayors, on civil servants who would perform marriages, called on them to cite conscientious objection, which is part of the law here. And there's been quite a debate about that, which is continuing even today. There are certain judges. There are judges who perform marriages in some places. Mayors do it, and several have refused to. One in particular has made a legal case citing conscientious objection. Now the government says you can't cite conscientious objection in this case, because that would be like saying, I refuse to marry people of different colors or different races or different ethnic groups, which would be a clear form of discrimination here.
Here's an email question from Keith in San Rafael, California.
Sure.
When states or countries approve gay marriage or a comprehensive civil union act like the UK, what happens to the various ad hoc or stopgap provisions of domestic partnership rights that previously existed? Would same-sex couples be forced to officially marry in order to enjoy rights and benefits? I think, Professor Wintermute, this may be to you.
Right. I'm not sure I quite follow the question. Could you read that again?
When states or countries approve gay marriage or comprehensive civil union act like the UK, what happens to various ad hoc or stopgap provisions like domestic partnership rights that previously existed?
Unless there's some conflict between them, I can't see that you couldn't accumulate them. But in some countries, you actually have a choice. In, for example, the Netherlands, you can have a marriage or a registered partnership, whether you're a different sex or same-sex couple, and you can convert from one to the other, but you can't have both at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Jerome Sokolowski, in Spain, is this a settled issue at this point? Are there still challenges to the law?
There are challenges, and there's a conservative family group who said that they're going to challenge this before one of the high courts here. It's not a settled issue. Every couple of weeks you hear about some sort of legal challenge that may filter its way up to the Supreme Court or to the Constitutional Court. But at the same time, this is an issue here that the right knows it cannot win. A lot of people associate any kind of restrictions on homosexuality with what happened during the dictatorship. And as I said before, even the right wing is not prepared to make a full-fledged attack on this. They were pretty vociferous in their opposition to the law itself, and that divided the main right wing popular party, which is in the opposition here.
Jerome Sokolowski, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome, Neil.
Jerome Sokolowski, a freelance reporter in Madrid, also heard often here on NPR. He joined us by phone from his office there. Here's another email question, this from Marcus in Kansas. There is, of course, great resistance to allowing gay marriage in the United States. I often find myself asking the same question, which never seems to get an answer. What exactly are the consequences for those who live in societies that do allow gay marriage? What has been the effect, positive and or negative? Professor Wintermuth?
Well, we have four countries to date, the Netherlands, Belgium, Canada, Spain, and also Massachusetts. So South Africa will actually start by no later than the 1st of December next year.
Mm-hmm.
And all the evidence to date is that the benefits are only positive for the same-sex couples who are finally allowed to marry on the same terms as any other couple. And there are no negative consequences for different sex couples. I suppose the test would be just if you're a different sex couple and you know a same-sex couple living down the street, how would it affect your life if they were allowed to marry?
In Europe in general, and especially in Northern Europe, the institution of marriage itself has been increasingly less popular. Fewer and fewer heterosexual couples are entering into marriage. I wonder, in a place like the Netherlands, where this has been the law for some years now, is the number of homosexual marriages, gay marriages, is that declining?
The number of marriages declining? Would be hard to have the number decline because they only started in 2001. But what I think you might find is that not necessarily all couples, same-sex couples, want to get married. I think what you find is most same-sex couples want to have the choice, the right, the freedom to decide,
mm-hmm.
and the freedom to say no. So there's no inconsistency there because the issue is really about every couple having the same options.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Allison. Allison with us from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi, I just want to know, is there or will there be a global uniform way or nomenclature of calling gay partners? For instance, do you call each one a spouse? I noticed the last caller who got married in Canada called his partner his husband. So how will you distinguish the legal status from that of just a regular business partner or an unmarried gay couple?
That's a tricky question. I think, well, in Britain, people talk about partners, full stop. And if you have to, you have to specify a business partner. So generally, if you say my partner, it means your partner. As to the exact legal, it means your domestic partner, the person you live with, your mm-hmm. special someone. If you want to specify the legal relationship, then you would have to say my spouse, my civil partner, my unregistered partner, something like that.
Do any particular countries have a certain way of doing it?
I think you'll find the terminology is extremely varied.
Okay.
There's no pattern yet.
It may take a while for a unanimity to emerge, if ever. Allison, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks.
We're talking with Robert Wintermute, a professor of human rights law at King's College in London, about gay marriage, civil unions, and partnerships in other countries in the world. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And as we look at the situation in South Africa, Professor Wintemutha, the Supreme Court there interpreted this country's relatively new constitution as saying there can be no distinction between same-sex couples and mixed-sex couples, and instructed the parliament there to enact a law within 1 year. If it does not, then it will take effect by court fiat. Is that my understanding? Is that right?
That's exactly right, yes. And that does make sense because the time given to Parliament is not to come up with something else like civil unions. It's merely to adjust other laws, to change the forms, to allow the registry offices to get ready. So they have 1 year. It's more or less what the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts did in November 2003. They gave the Massachusetts legislature 6 months to make any adjustments to laws it thought necessary. Before the decision went into effect.
The Massachusetts legislature has been, it's having its problems with that.
Yes. Well, in fact, they didn't ever get around to fixing any laws. They were talking about a constitutional amendment instead.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the largest countries in the world, India, China? Is there any movement there?
Well, you have to think of the lesbian and gay rights movement as a continuum that starts with the, removing the death penalty for same-sex sexual activity, then removing any criminal sanctions for same-sex sexual activity. Then you have protection against discrimination in employment and access to services. And then you get on to the questions of equal treatment of couples and parental rights, access to adoption, etc. So in China, they don't have any criminal laws anymore, but there is no law against discrimination based on sexual orientation, and there are no groups that are in a position to campaign for it. So the situation, they're at a very early stage there. In India, they still have a criminal law left over from the British Empire. So certain forms of sexual activity between men are a criminal offense in India. And that question, the question of whether that's constitutional, is before the Indian Supreme Court. And until that question is resolved, the society is not going to move on to talk about equal access to marriage for same-sex couples.
And this is it on the agenda at all in Muslim countries, Indonesia, Malaysia, all the way through the Arabian side?
No. In most Muslim countries, same-sex sexual activity, or at least between men, is a criminal offense. Some of these countries have the death penalty.
We talked briefly about Mexico. What about elsewhere in Central and South America?
I have heard of proposals in Colombia, Chile, Argentina. In Brazil, there's been a bill in the Federal Congress for about 10 years on civil unions. But nothing has been enacted yet except in two provinces in Argentina. The most important one is in the city of city of Buenos Aires has a law that allows same-sex and different-sex couples to register their relationships. But my understanding is the city doesn't have the power to grant all the rights and duties that go with marriage.
So that might have been analogous to San Francisco or New Paltz, New York, for that matter.
Something. Well, not the issuing of marriage licenses. In those cases, you had mayors issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples without any legal authority to do so. No, the equivalent in the U.S. is more a domestic partner law in New York City or Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. or San Francisco, where you can register at the city level and you get certain benefits, but it's nowhere near what you would get through a marriage.
Professor Wintemute, thanks very much for being with us this evening. Appreciate your time.
You're most welcome.
Robert Wintemute is editor of a collection of works titled Legal Recognition of Same-Sex Partnerships, a Study of National, European, and International Law. He teaches human rights law at King's College in London and joined us by phone from his offices there.